listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, October 16, 2013. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Glad to be here.
Tonight we are doing metaphysical news and commentary. We've got a few stories to talk about. And we appreciate your time. Those who are joining us live as well as those joining us on the archive, we do appreciate it. We're glad you're here. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a premier metaphysics school and university that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in a variety of specializations. For more information, please check it out, metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you'd like to just take a standalone course, you can visit our sister site at newageclass.com. And just today, I completed a new metaphysics discovery course, which is on the main website at metaphysicsinstitute.org. So if you're a little undecided as to whether you want to enroll in the IMHS degree program or you just want to learn a little bit more about metaphysics, that'd be a great course to take. It's the metaphysics discovery course. You'll see it right there on the main page of the website. And the tuition is $50, but the good thing is that if you enroll in the degree program, you get that $50 back. It gets credited to your student account, so you might want to check that out if that's of interest to you.
You know, today, Doug, somebody asked me what a metaphysical counselor is and what the definition of metaphysics is. So maybe it's a good time to explain.
Yeah, I'd like to know myself.
Well, it's adventures in consciousness, folks. That's basically metaphysics is consciousness.
And existence.
And existence.
So what was it? They were calling it metaphysics counselor?
They wanted to know what a metaphysical counselor was, because when I refer to myself, I'm a metaphysical counselor, spiritual counselor. And so I always say it's like a spiritual counselor with a spin. Because, you know, the thing is, you know, we're open to many different topics. So it's not just, located to one particular topic. You're not just a psychic, not just a Reiki healer, not just, you know, a scientist of some kind, or not just well-versed in quantum physics, for example. We can kind of, each of us has our own expertise, but we have a general education in all areas of metaphysical study.
So it's clear that a metaphysical counselor is somebody who counsels in metaphysics, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, we've got that one solved.
Yay.
We've got it clearly understood, and we're ready to move on. All right. Now, tonight, we are going to kick off our program by reviewing Principle of Belief number 4. And just to give you an update for those who might be new to the program, MCHS Church is based or built upon 9 principles of belief. You can read these principles of belief at mchschurch.org. And number 4 is that we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. And kicking off on our new metaphysical news and commentary stories tonight, we have one that appeared, I believe it was on, the link is on,
September 27th.
This one is reflected. If you go to mchschurch.org, you will see a news widget on the lower right sidebar, scroll down just a little bit, and it's got the metaphysical news there. And then if you scroll down a little bit in it, there is the story. I'm just looking at it right now, finding it. It's the head, the title is Dawkins, Religion, No Moral Compass. And it is from CNN, that's what I was going to say, but I wasn't sure. Anyway, this is an interesting story. Of course, if you're familiar with Richard Dawkins, he's the consummate atheist. And, you know, really is quite outspoken against religion. I have to, you know, pat him on the back for that one. But he was being interviewed, and one of the things that came up was that the concept, well, don't we need religion to serve as our moral compass? And you can just jump in anytime you want. Otherwise, I'll just keep talking about it.
No, I keep going. I you know, that term moral compass, you know, religion equals moral compass, just sends me, Doug often says, sends me where you can't get a postcard.
Well, yeah, that's right. You know, and that's a common thing about from religion is that, well, we need religion to give us morality, to teach us ethics, to help us to behave. And you know what? That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard, because if we're supposed to follow the example of religion on morality, oh my Lord, we're screwed. So, I mean, religion does not have a good track record on morality and ethics or any of it. So, you know, here's the bottom line, folks. Here it is in a nutshell. Religion only has the moral value that moral people give it. Think about that for a minute. There is no morality in religion per se. It's given that morality by moral people. And you don't have to be religious to have a high moral ethic or a high moral sense. That's obvious. I mean, it's just there are so many good people out there that had nothing to do with religion or God or any of that stuff because they have a true moral compass, if you will. Their compass, their moral compass always points to the direction of right, do no harm. Those are the highest moral principles there are. And if you look at the MCHS Church's nine principles of belief, as I've said many, many times, you cannot get a healthier spiritual philosophy than that. It is all about morality. And so Dawkins here is basically making the same statement that religion is no moral compass. In fact, it's the antithesis. What is that word? Antithesis of moral compass. Because, you know, that's where we've gotten all of our bloodshed and all of our wars from, is from religion. So it is absolutely no moral compass.
You know, Doug, if I can just say that a lot of people believe, they have this impression, that if you're not a Christian and you're not religious and that you don't believe in God, that you are an atheist, therefore don't believe in anything. And very recently, Oprah Winfrey was quoted as saying, if you don't believe in some kind of superpower, you do not feel wonder and awe. I'm not kidding. She actually said that.
Sorry, I had to go power hurl.
I'm serious.
And if she said that, it's unfortunate because anybody with that mindset there's something that is escaping them, the concept of self-completeness. You know, you don't need something outside of yourself to make yourself complete. That is something that we're conditioned with all through our lives. Oh, well, we need a higher power. And I mean, I was raised with this, that, you know, there's this inherent need in humanity to look to something greater than itself. Well, you know, that may be true, but it is not because it's a factor of reality. It is a fact of evolution. When you've got people with low self-esteem, yes, they need to look for something outside of themselves because they're never good enough. There's always some reason to feel bad about yourself. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not educated enough. You're not this or that enough. And that's what they do. They look outside of themselves because it's so comforting, because they're afraid. You know, they don't have that confidence. They don't have that healthy self-concept. Anybody with a healthy self-concept does not need anything or anyone outside of themselves. And they will tell you that. It's just a foregone conclusion to them. Well, I don't need you. You know, we're here because we choose to be here. I choose to be here, but I don't need you. Go ahead.
So therefore, if I don't believe in a God or that God or somebody's God, it means then that I'm an atheist, therefore I believe in nothing and I flatline. That's the impression that people have.
Let's talk about atheism for a minute, okay? Just like you've got a variety of different beliefs within religion, Christianity, and so forth, there's also various levels of depth or intensity when it comes to atheism. And just because you say, well, you're an atheist, what exactly does that mean? You know, I mean, it means atheist. It means you don't believe in God. But there are very strict atheists out there, very, very strict atheists, fundamentalist, materialist. Materialism is probably not what you're thinking, unless you've been over this before. But a materialist is somebody who says, basically, what you see is what you got. And everything can be explained with physical laws. I mean, your mind is not non-local. It's in your brain. Your mind is a result of your brain, the chemical processes in the brain. And there is no life after death. This is it. You know, this is just it. That's a materialist view. And Dawkins is a materialist atheist. And while I really appreciate his outspokenness against religion, the real fact of the matter is that intensive atheists are nothing more than the other side of the coin from religion. They both are extremists, and there's just not enough data. And so another aspect of atheism is agnosticism, which basically means I don't know. And agnostics are criticized by the atheists because they can't make a decision, and they're mocked. And that's, you know, it's no different than religious persecution. So when it comes to the God concept and religion, I'm an atheist. But in reality, I'm really agnostic because I don't know. You know, do we have a creator? I don't know. I can't prove it. And you can't prove that we did, that we do. We don't know. And so I don't make a decision on it until I have compelling evidence. But I do have compelling proof that whole baloney in the Bible and the God concept is just that, baloney. It's not even original. It came from ancient Sumerian texts. It's myth. It's folklore. It doesn't stack up to a critical thinker. So
but do you have wonder and awe?
I do. Every day, every time I look in the mirror.
You know, it's true. We ought to be in awe of ourselves. You know, we're an extraordinary species on an extraordinary planet. And if we could just all get past our, you know, violence and our need for violence and our need for competing with each other, you know, we'd have a wonderful planet. The nine principles of belief are extraordinary. Anybody who has not joined our show before, who is not familiar with mchschurch.org, please go take a look. I mean, it's very simple principles, you know, for which we just are acknowledging. We all internally know these principles, Doug. I truly believe that. They just get written out. And, you know, a clarification in our minds of what we are to live by.
Mm-hmm. So.
That was a soapbox.
Yeah,
I just got
off my own.
You know, my issue, and one of the things about principle number four tonight that we started out the show with, that we're all equal. One of the things that is a really easy determination if you're going to research a religion, a philosophy, a group, anytime it is run by men, decisions are made by men, enforced
Uh-oh.
By men,
Uh-oh.
You know, and oppresses women is just flat out wrong. And because it goes against the grain of anything that
morality.
A sensible human being would know this. You know, and one of the things I'll tell you, Doug, I really do have an affinity for Buddhism. I love Buddhism. I think the Dalai Lama is a great guy. But here's the problem. It's still run by men. There's now one or two, you know, apparently, you know, women who are good enough to become monks. But again, it's that male domination. We have to consider this, folks. If we are truly all equal and we are all star stuff, then there are certain things that we have to look at in not only, you know, just in our general philosophy of what we want to follow and who think is smart, who think, you know, who's smarter than who, is that what we do in our everyday lives and how we do tend to treat each other different, you know, based on gender. And there are differences in the gender. There's no question, but it's about respect. And for all the men out there who are hiring women to do the same job as a man, pay the woman the same amount of money. And it's really simple. In the United States and Canada, women still only get 70% of the wage of a man for doing exactly the same job, whether it's a mechanic's job or driving a truck or working in an office. And, you know, the list is very, very long. Why is that? Because it's cheaper. You know, but it goes from religion, politics, to economics. We have a division between us, and it's not racism, and it's not just culturalism, it's genderism, and it's this, we have a division, and until that particular division is healed, none of the other things are going to get healed, and I truly believe that. There are very few men, and Doug, you're one of them, who treats men and women equally. And that's what we need to get to.
I'm more of a feminist than most women.
True. I believe that.
Yeah, you know, and what you're saying about equality is certainly true. And we're getting there, I mean, slowly. But I think we are. And, I mean, gosh, I think they're, what, the king over in Saudi Arabia? Or is it Saudi Arabia where women can't drive, the only country left? Is that the one?
You know, Doug, I saw some pictures of Afghanistan in the 1960s and 70s. There were some really hip women over there at that time. They were getting educated. They were wearing some, you know, pretty cool, funky clothes. And then, geez, religion just took over in the politics. And now everybody's, like, you know, robed.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. But so anyway, we're making progress, but it's not very fast. But we are, I think we are making, I think the human race is making progress.
Well, we like to believe so. But, they, you know, in this whole essence of equality and where we're at, it's just when I would just ask of people to remember to, you know, think of these very simple, basic things in our everyday lives. So we are not treating ourselves as equal to others, as well as others equal to ourselves. It's a big one.
And there's a thought in the chat room that I guess we probably need to address because it could probably be easy to misunderstand or misconstrue. And the thought is that, you know, it's almost as if self-worship is being promoted. And I hope I'm not taking this in the wrong context, but, you know, I make a lot of comments like I just joked about looking in the mirror, you know, for on all that stuff, and that was lighthearted. You know, in what we teach at IMHS and at MCHS, do we teach self-worship? The answer is clearly and absolutely no, we don't. But we don't teach self-denigration. And unfortunately, most people denigrate themselves mercilessly, beat themselves up. That is so by far more common than somebody, than even narcissists, that it's unreal. What we're promoting here is a healthy self-concept. And I've been over this, you know, are you perfect? And most people say, oh, no, nobody's perfect. And every now and then I come across somebody and I, you know, are you perfect? Oh, hell yes. What's wrong with you? Of course I am, duh. You know, that kind of an attitude. Now, do they think too much of themselves? Are they narcissists? No. Are they egotists? No. They have a healthy self-concept. I'm perfect, but so are you. You know, I am just all that, but so are you. You know, I'm neither better nor worse than you. You know, we are all entitled to the same good things in life, no more, no less than anyone else. So I don't want any one of our listeners to think that we're somehow, you know, full of ourselves or narcissistic or teaching self-worship. That's not simply not the case. It's balanced, and it should be that. We're trying to teach a healthy self-concept, to stop beating yourself up and to start patting yourself on the back once in a while and to feel good about yourself. You know, this whole thing about equality, the color of somebody's skin, and they get, you know, there's prejudice and bias and all that stuff. Unbelievable. So what? You know, here's a point I want to make too. A lot of people will equate a person's behavior with the color of their skin. And that doesn't make any sense. You know, people are people and we're all different. Every one of us is unique, right? Hey, you're unique, just like the rest of us. You know, but we all have this unique makeup, and we all have our behavior. But when somebody's behavior is different than ours, or we don't resonate with that, we attribute that to the color of the skin. Oh, well, you know, they're black, or they're red, or they're white, or they're Arab, or they're whatever. It's stupid. So don't equate behavior with color or with race or with ethnicity, because we're all one human race.
Well, and the response in the chat room is thanks for the clarity. I guess I like to hear tolerance also toward other organized religions. You know, I'm going to make this real clear. The older I get, the less tolerance I have for organized religion. So that's there. Because there are so many brushstrokes of inequality and oppression and control, like the mind control is unbelievable. The older I get, the less tolerance I have. When I work with people, I work individual. I don't care what you believe in. I care about what kind of human being you are. That's critical. The notion of perfection is taken away in every kind of religion. Every kind of religion says you are not good enough. And this is what we are trying to correct. Mm-hmm. And if I can just have a little soapbox here, Doug, because we are each born a soul to a body, perfect. It's a perfect creation. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Right now, we perfectly example every output of energy in our life to date. And so keep that in mind. That's why this moment is perfect. Everything that we are seeing is a result of what was put into it. You know, we complain about our lives, we complain about stuff. There's a reason it is like that. This is a basic law of physics. Am I perfect? Absolutely. I am a perfect reflection of a result of what I have put into my life and the creation. We constantly recreate ourselves. That also is energy in a perfect motion. A thought generates a perfect result of whatever is put out. And this is what the notion of perfection, that each of us is perfect. It is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect example of what we've created. You don't like it? Recreate it. It's that simple. So this is not about, self-worship in the way that we interpret ego. But it is self-worship, I tell you, that I am the most important human being I know. Because if I'm not well, I cannot give well. It's that simple. That is perfection. I only know the amount of love to give if I know it for myself. You know, it's like people say, well, they really try to love me, but they don't. That's because they don't know it, and they can't give you more than they know. But each of us is internally responsible. So is this moment perfect? Am I perfect? I'm the most interesting human being I know, because I'm the only one who lives in here.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. I get visitors from time to time.
You preach it, sister. I'm telling you. And,
see,
and it is a perfect moment.
It is a perfect moment. And that's not ego. That is not narcissism. It's saying that you can't fix me. You can't fix my problems. We can be friends. We can help each other out. We can interdepend. We can, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're sharing a planet. You know, I need the guy at the store because, you know, I'm not going to butcher my own cows. Simple. So, you know, I need people. We all need each other in lots of ways, Doug, you know, whether it's the corner grocer or, you know, the transport trucks in the world we live in now. There's lots of things we need people for. But I do not need anybody to make me feel good about myself. I love to feel appreciated. We all do. I love to be acknowledged. We all do. And if I don't get it, it doesn't mean that I'm a lousy human being. See, this is the point. If we really rely on other people for how we're going to feel about ourselves, as Doug says it very well in the course material, that is them esteem, not self-esteem. So when we take responsibility for who we are, then we can get about partnering in a good way without beating each other up. And that's the beautiful thing about responsibility.
And your explanation on perfection, that we, you know, we're a perfect result of what we put into it, is a beautiful, profound statement and an excellent, brilliant, additional lens to view perfection through. So, I mean, it was very, very well stated. It's we are where we are because of who we are and what we've done and our choices we've made. And we're a perfect reflection of that. It's like, you know, here's what normally happens. We go out into a field with a bag of seed, thinking it's corn seed, and we, you know, plant it, and then it turns out to be wheat. And somehow we were wrong. We blew it. We made a mistake. But we got exactly what we planted. It was a perfect expression of what we planted. It's just not what we intended. And so that's where we learn. Oh, okay, corn seed looks like this. Wheat seed looks like that, you know. Of course, I'm not a farmer, but you get the idea. So we need to stop beating ourselves up. If we've made a wrong decision that was well-intentioned, we learn. Even if we made a wrong decision that was not well-intentioned, we still learn. It's experience. It's why you can't pay tuition and go to college and gain experience, you know, or learn experience. You have to live it. You have to experience in order to gain it. So we've talked a lot about equality and among genders, among the ethnicities. I just don't like to call the different races because we're all one race. And in this vein, you know, we established months ago or a year ago, whenever it was, the One Planet Accord, oneplanetaccord.org, to promote this. You know, there's the One Planet flag. There's the whole concept of we're one planet. We need to get along. We need to tolerate. I don't really care what you believe. If you want to believe in the Bible and God and all that, I don't care. I really don't. Just don't do any harm. Don't harm others. Don't harm gays and lesbians because, you know, the Apostle Paul, who as far as I'm concerned was a closet gay, spoke out against them. Okay? Don't hate. Don't put down. Don't do harm. Believe what you want. I don't care. You want to depend on some mythical being creator in the sky? I don't care. Just don't do any harm.
That's God was an alien, I'm telling you. He was an alien.
As far as
and Allah was an alien.
Well, they're it makes more alien sense than the Adam and Eve and snake and fruit story, you know? It's like, come on, really?
Well,
wow, how did
things,
I buy that for so long? Say with
all
Noah's
things
Ark.
All things being equal.
Yeah, anyway, so we've been on our soapboxes, but it's because we're passionate, and it's because we've seen firsthand damage that organized religion can do, and that's why the older we get, the less tolerant we are. I'm tired of people doing wrong in the name of religion, in the name of God and all that, because it doesn't jive with their own tastes, with their own preferences. Remember, if it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. But if it's a matter of preference, yield. And most of it is a matter of preference.
I
so
love that.
Bear that in mind, folks. It's you know, be excellent to each other. I think there was a movie about that once. Be kind to people. Look for the opportunities to do right. Step it up a notch. Do the right thing. Let somebody else in traffic in front of you. Open the door. Do the kind thing. Do the courteous thing. You know, be nice. Big thing. Anyway, appreciate all your time tonight. Those who join us live and on the archives. Next week, we will have a topic. We have yet to determine it. The fifth week or fifth Wednesday of this month is the fifth Wednesday. We don't do a show on the fifth any month with the fifth Wednesday, so bear that in mind too. Until next week, Dr. Doug Kelly, listen, think, grow. and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.